Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. How are you all today? So, today is the last session for the whole year. Yeah, it's the finale. Not sure whether it's going to be grand, but... Okay, so before we jump into the session proper. Who is new here on my left to SGC? Introduce yourself, tell us your name and how you got to know about this group. Yes? First time at SGC, right? Yeah, tell us your name. Ah, I see. Ah, okay. Welcome. So how did you chance upon the podcast and YouTube?
I was watching one of the video posted by Mangala Vihara. I think you went there to talk about the 7 months.
Ah, yeah. I see. Okay, good. Who else is here on my left who is new? I think most are the season parking holders. Auntie leh?
Auntie is with me.
Auntie is with you.
I'm not the first time here.
Yeah.
Remember that time you asked me about why are you here? The first time that I would say Bande invite me to come up, say there's a session here.
And
then remember you say that
So, does that explain where she's from?
My mom is here.
Oh, your mom.
Yeah, she was here with
them. Ah,
so
does she
come here for the year emotion?
Ah, does she understand English?
She understands Chinese.
Chinese. Auntie, 懂英语吗？啊，跟你讲话。哦，透过她跟你讲话。欢迎。那我今天也用一点华语，好不好 ？Yeah. So, okay, good. Yeah. So, how come she's not sitting with you? Auntie 害羞啊，不用害羞了。Auntie 什么籍贯的人？
潮州。
就就那哈。怕是不要上岗啊，来头装，装会，no， 不够标准。Okay, who else? Let me see on my right. Anyone who is new? Are you new? No, I know you are not new. But how about him? He's also not new, huh? Introduced before, right?But he looks bigger now. Yeah. How old are you now? 17 already. So, where are you studying now? TJ. Nice. My sister was from TJ. You have a senior sitting behind. Yeah. Very, very senior. Too many years. Yeah.So how is JC life now?
Busy.
Busy, What's your name, by the way?
Jin
Yi. Okay. I vaguely remember you, but you look a lot younger back then. Yeah. Good. Good to see you. Welcome. Who else is new here today? Hello, yes, hi. Tell us your name and how you got to know this group.
My name is Jessica, my boyfriend apprentice.
Ah, I see. Welcome, welcome. Yeah. Seldom have boyfriend being girlfriend. Usually bring then disappear with the boyfriend or girlfriend. Welcome, welcome. How about the gentleman? Have you introduced before? Yes, you. Yeah. In front first. Yes. Have you? But introduced before?
Yeah, once.
Once, too long never come. What's your name again?
Brian.
Brian. You are with Mansing? Or who are you with? You came here alone. Ah, so don't be a stranger.
The last time was many months ago.
Yeah, some time back. Good, welcome back. And the gentleman behind, you have introduced before, right?
Yeah.
So.
My son and my
wife. yes. Yeah. Good to see you all here. Welcome. And we have another of our. Yes. You have not turned up for a while. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Some time back, yeah. Yes. Yes. Welcome. The rest behind, I think we have Stephen, we have Gina, we have Sui Zhu and Huang Ke, we have my sister, brother-in-law, and the son, and what's his name? I can't remember his name. Sun Hao, yes. Okay, everyone is accounted for, huh? Okay. So welcome to the last session of the year. Today's topic, purpose of our life. Is it correct?
Yes.
Purpose of our life. Yeah. Have you all found your purpose of your life?
No.
How many of you feel that you have found your purpose of your life? Not bad, a few of you. The rest still looking. Some of you already white hair, still looking. I think 差不多要走完了. So this is a topic which is in a way not easy. It's not an easy question to ask ourselves. Yeah. And sometimes we forgot to ask ourselves this question, you know, because we are too busy. Busy with the day to day. There was once I was at a secondary school. I think it was Manjusri. And it was Vesak celebration. I was invited to give a talk. There were other venerables who were present. I think it was there was this bathing of, you know, the baby Siddhartha. And then after that, there was a talk, and then there was a short Q&A. So there were some, you know, the usual Dharma question about Buddhism. And then suddenly out of the blue, this boy stand up and say, "Venerable, can I ask a question?" "Yes." "What is the purpose of life?" Wow. The whole school said, "Wow." Chim question. Yeah. This is what I told them. I said, no purpose. They were like, what? I think most people expect more of an answer from a religious person, yeah, a monk no less. I think some people at least would expect me to say the purpose in your life is to attain Buddhahood, you know, or minimally attain Arahanthood, or at the very least, the purpose of your life is to attain Sotapanna. Okay, let me write down some of these terms. So first of all, no purpose. Jialat. Come here to look for a purpose, then this monk tell you no purpose. So, purpose of our life, number one, no purpose. Bo, deng chu. Yeah. 我们人生的意义是什么? Yeah, 没有意义。 我们最终的目标是什么? 没有目标。 Okay, let me explain. Yeah, so no purpose. Eh, before I write down what that was I saying?
Arahant.
Ah, yes, Arahanthood. So one is no purpose, the other one is what we usually the so called the model answer. Okay, model answer. Attain Buddhahood, Arahanthood, Sotapanna. Buddhahood, you know? You know Buddha? All of us seem to know who is Buddha, but when you really sit down and think about it, actually, who is Buddha? Huh? Or we know this the Indian prince, you know. Well, actually, technically not Indian also, because India didn't exist back then. He was a Sakyan prince, yeah, one of the states back in India. The word Buddha refers to someone who is awakened. Yeah, so it means to become awakened. But not just awakened, but self-awakened. And being a Buddha, there's an implicit Sammasambuddha. Sammasambuddha. Oops, sorry. Okay, don't take picture, very untidy. So Sammasambuddha, meaning that this is the epitome of enlightenment. Yeah. And being a Buddha, in this case, a Sammasambuddha, such a person would arise at a time where there's no truth, yeah, there's no realization, there's no existing teaching, and the person is able to become awakened by themselves, and not stop there, also teach the Buddha Dharma. I'm going to just simplify it by saying Buddha Dharma instead of going into Dharma Vinaya and all the details. Okay. So this is one, okay. So this is one of the model answer, okay, model answer. Then second one is be awakened, also awakened. So Buddhahood take a long time, okay. Arahanthood, shorter time. Yeah, shorter time. Fastest, I think it says like within six life. Three life or six life, around there. Yeah. That means you start off with no background, extreme effort, quite fast. Yeah, technically possible. Yeah. Yeah, in principle. So it's just like, in principle, if you train hard enough, you can run 100 meters in, you know, 10 seconds. Technically possible. But not many people do it. Yeah. Because not everybody think that it's worthwhile to spend their life trying to run fast. So similarly, not everybody think it's worthwhile to become awakened. Yeah. I say not everybody, doesn't mean I don't. I think it's worthwhile. Yeah. And that's the nature of Buddhism. Yeah. We don't go around telling you that you must do this or do that. Yeah. It's a choose your own adventure kind of religion. Yeah. You can choose to become a Buddha. You can also choose to be an Arahant. You can also choose to be a Sotapanna. Sotapanna is quite a popular destination. Yeah. So this is called a stream enterer. Yes. Don't go to Kallang River. The analogy is that someone who reached this stage will not turn back anymore. That means from that point onward, it's progress all the way until you attain Arahanthood. And at most, 7 lifetimes. If not, sometimes you go forward, sometimes you go backward, sometimes you do U-turn and go round and round. Yeah? But once you reach Sotapanna, safe. Safe. Yeah? And you can progress all the way. Progress all the way. So in many Buddhist community, the minimum aim is Sotapanna. Yeah. And in a way, for Buddhists, this is often positioned as the minimum goal. Yeah. Important thing for Buddhists. Yeah. When we say for Buddhists, we may think, huh? You mean compulsory one? Huh? 强制的吗? Yeah. Because at the first place, most Buddhists or most people, or Buddhists for that matter, don't really know that this is this is our minimum aim. Yeah. And why? What is the rationale for that? And it is because when you say that you are a Buddhist, it means you are a disciple of the Buddha. And by taking refuge in the Buddha, Dharma and the Sangha, it means that you take the Buddha as your teacher. Yeah? So it's just like, imagine. Like, how many of you drive, have license? Raise your hand. Be proud of the fact that you paid $2,000 and then got your license. Yeah? Have you heard of anyone who just, you know, like, you ask them out for a weekend, you know, go out, watch movie, and then say, oh, I'm busy. Then he's like, what are you busy with? Oh, going for a driving license. Lesson. He said, oh, you're going to go and learn how to drive? Oh, no. I'm not going there to learn how to drive. You are taking up driving lesson, but not learning how to drive? Yeah. I just quite like the instructor. We usually have nice chat. Yeah, and we just hang around in the car park and then bring tea. He'll bring, you know, some biscuit, and then we'll just chit-chat for 1 hour. And then he'll drop me at the MRT station, and then I'll just go home. Really? Is that what people do with driving instructors? You wouldn't do that, isn't it? I mean, that's very expensive kind of outing, you know? Yeah? You usually go and find an instructor because you want to learn how to drive. Yeah? So, strictly speaking, when a person declares themselves as a Buddhist, meaning you take refuge, it's basically a decision that you make. Yeah, that you want to move towards enlightenment. And that's why for most Buddhist community, this is seen as the minimum stream entry. Because once you reach that stage, then you are safe. Safe in what sense? Safe in the sense that you do not get reborn in the lower realm. But it is not some special privilege. It is not some special, how do I put it? Like a passport. Yeah, it's not a chop, and then you can do stupid things, and after that, I got chop. Waiver. Yeah? Yeah, it's not those diplomatic, what is that? What's that term? Immunity, yes. Diplomatic immunity, you know? Yeah, this is not a diplomatic immunity that frees you from the low realm. It is that when you reach up to this point, then your clarity in your mind, you have had a glimpse of the truth. So no matter how strong your past defilements, the habitual tendency, no matter how strong they arise, they cannot overcome your awareness, your mindfulness, your clarity of mind. And in this way, you never quite go so off the path, such that you fall into the lower realms. You simply don't. Yeah. As clearly as you all have clear sight, right? Yeah. With clear sight, you wouldn't walk into the wall, right? Yeah. So as clearly as that. Yeah. Someone who has attained stream entry wouldn't fall into the lower realms. Yeah. So this is the modern answer. Okay, modern answer. Of course, then there are those who say, purpose of our life is, what else? Any other modern answer? There are those who like to be reborn, like, let's say you cannot be reborn as a, you cannot attain Sotapanna. Then minimally, for next life, be reborn in the heavenly or human realm. You know, this is like PSLE, you don't want to go to some crappy school, right? Yeah. Correct or not? If you have a choice, which realm do you want to go next life? I mean, there are those of you who say, no more next life. I want to attain Arahant this life. You know, Sifu, I already made a booking. Next Wednesday, 3:35 p.m. all set to go. Yeah. Next Wednesday, is it 1st of Jan? 1st Jan, I already make a booking. Okay, for those of you who have not made a booking, imagine you go to nirvana.com. Yeah. And then you register, and then you try to choose. What is the option you want to choose? You want to choose human realm, heavenly realm, or you want to choose animal realm? The other day, when coming back from St. John Island, one of the crew, the boat crew, yeah, because we had people come in and out, so I would send some of them to the ferry. So after a few days, they kind of got to know my face, you know. So he sat down with me and talked to me and, you know, asked me questions about Buddhism. Is it the same as Taoism and things like that? And then at some point, he said, 我要做鱼. I'm like, what? I was like, you want to become a fish? Yeah, this person wants to become a fish. Now, I write down here, not as a goal. Please don't. If you entertain such a thought, that's not my fault. So I was like, no. 做鱼不好. He said, 为什么不好? 可以, 我要做鲨鱼. I was like, what? 鲨鱼可以吃人. 我罪过. But this is no joke. I've met quite a few people who have thoughts like this, you know. I remember the first time I heard someone who wants to become an animal was when I was in the US. There was this Amor lady, this American. She came up for a visit. I showed her the different halls and then, answered some of her questions about Buddhism. Of course, I was the guest monk in charge. And then at some point, she said she wants to be a bird. I was like, a bird? Then she said, yeah. But why? And then she's like, I don't need a visa to go anywhere. I can just... I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. So I think we like the freedom part of what we see of the animal realm. But we don't see the other side, the many other sides. For example, I shared with that boat crew about how fishes, they spawn a lot of eggs, yeah, at once. Out of the 100 over eggs, not all of them will reach maturity. Majority of them would have been either destroyed by the currents or eaten up by some other fishes. Yeah. So imagine you are an embryo and you are still like, okay, when is my turn? And then whoop, die. You know, and then you're reborn and it's a fish again. Oh, what just happened? Whoop, die. Yeah. And then finally, you get born. You know, you got a chance after many rounds, you finally get really born as a fish. Then you're just, oh yeah, I'm a fish. Oh, die. Some fish came over and just ate you up. You know? Yeah, and finally you become big enough, then you start going around eating other fishes. Yeah. And even though if you are big enough, I ask him, I say, at home, do you have to worry about your neighbor coming over your house and eating you up? She's like, "Pyong up." I'm like, yeah, animals have to, you know. Yeah. Like, practically the whole of the animal kingdom, every species worry about that. It's a constant fear. Yeah. Any time of the day, I mean, okay, you do have to worry about your boss coming over to you if you're napping at work. Yeah, but your boss will not eat you up, right? Yeah, if you're caught napping at work, your boss will not come over. Yeah, you don't have to worry about that. Now, that seems very trivial. Yeah, but it's very real when you are a fish. Yeah, or a bird, for that matter. But as I said, we are looking for freedom. If somehow you can be born as a human, or any being for that matter, with the freedom, minus the fear, minus the danger. Yeah, because I haven't heard of anyone who say, "I want to be a fish." Why? Because I can get eaten up. Yeah, nobody think in that way. And if you ask yourself, do you want to have freedom? Say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Freedom without the fear, without the danger. Yeah, everybody want that. The trouble is, as an animal, the freedom comes with the fear and danger. No protection, no guarantees. Yeah. I don't think we need to go through the other realms. Yeah. Hungry ghost realm, hell realm, yeah. Unless you are bodhisattva. If you are bodhisattva, then all realms are open for you. In what sense? Not that you have to go there and suffer, but you look beyond the suffering of that realm. That you're willing to be there to be of service to others, to be of help for others. So that is one possible purpose, one possible goal. Yeah. So these are all the model ones, okay? Then let's look at the my funny answer, which I will rewrite below here, or maybe I will just, today I will slide to the left or right, if you will. No purpose. So why purpose? More correctly, no fixed purpose, no inherent purpose. Like, life is the only, in a way, life itself doesn't come with any instruction manual. You know? If you are born and it comes with a set of instruction manual and says, okay, Marcel Leno? Yeah. Born 19-something-something? Is it?
95,
okay. Almost made him younger. Yeah, 1995. And then will study this, study that, graduate from university, work in Singtel for a number of years, get retrenched. Oh, so, no, haven't happened yet. Don't know. if you get retrenched, not my fault. Yeah. Will become a monk. Or if life is like that, then this is what we call deterministic or fatalistic. It means it's already cast in stone. Yeah. It's also what we call fate. So if we say that there's a purpose, no purpose as opposed to a purpose, a fixed purpose. If there's a fixed purpose, then this is fate, meant to be, meaning that you're meant to be here. But if it's meant to be, then it kind of cheapens the fact that you're here. Because you are not, you being here is not fixed. Then you being here has a purpose. It serves something. That is a choice. I don't think there's any fixed purpose in life. Because we are free. We are free to decide whether we want to become Buddha the next moment, or an Arahant, or a Sotapanna. We are free to choose whether we want to live our life and treat others in a heavenly way, or in a human way, humane if you will. Or we can choose to live our life just enjoying the freedom, but then also living with fear and danger. We can also choose our life to live like an Asura, always wrathful, filled with jealousy. It's our choice. You don't have to wait until you're reborn, you know, as a human being. Yeah. We can also choose to be a ghost, filled with attachment. Yeah. Never quite satisfied. Holding on to a lot of our own thoughts, you know, clinging on to things, experiences, and so on. Yeah. On a more human level, we can choose to also be a jerk. Yeah, we're free too, right? Yeah, we can choose to be a jerk, we can choose to be nasty, or we can choose to be nice. Dare I say so, we can choose to be happy or sad. Wait, you mean we can choose? If you have a choice to choose between being happy and sad, which one would you choose to be? Of course, right? So when we say we can choose, what's the implication? Perhaps the implication becomes clearer if we look at the reverse. Because if we say that we can choose to be happy and sad, then why would anyone be sad? We would always choose to be happy, isn't it? But if we have no choice, then that's terribly terribly sad, isn't it? Yeah. So is our emotional state something that we can control or not? Sometimes we think, whether our purpose in terms of this life or future life. As a Buddhist, we think about future life in terms of the different realms where we want to be. Yeah. For most people in this life, then they think about where they want to be in life. Recently there was I shared somewhere, I think during the retreat, about a recent trip to Malacca. And one of the boys said, you know, the conversation was about what he wants to be in future. And then this statement came out. What do you want to be in future? I want to be happy. We seldom think about that, huh? Yeah, we think about our purpose in terms of doing things. Yeah. Having this, having that, and so on and so forth. But we forgot about this. And if we really have a choice, why don't we choose to be happy instead of sad? But who am I to tell you that your purpose in life is to be happy? I'm not going to force you to be happy. Yeah, Buddhism, I haven't seen any text where the Buddha say all beings must like this or like that. Yeah. Starting from our precepts, yeah, the path of practice. The only time he seemed to, in a way, enforce certain code of behavior is with reference to those who have took up certain undertaking. Like, you know what you all repeated earlier? I undertake the precepts. Yeah, it's your choice, or you choose to undertake. Then, certain code of behavior is to be expected. Since you choose, yeah, you choose to want to do this, to achieve something. So, no fixed or inherent purpose. To me, this is what makes life interesting and exciting. Because otherwise, as opposed to the fixed purpose, this is like living your life thinking that it's already a fixed purpose. That's fate. And it is like watching a movie or reading a book. You know what I mean? If your life has a fixed purpose, it's already written, cast in stone. Nothing you can do about it. Yeah. Whereas having no fixed or inherent purpose, to me, is quite exciting. It means that you are the scriptwriter. You are the captain of the ship, if you will. Yeah, you decide. You write your book of life. You decide whether you want to behave in an enlightened way or not. Yeah. You wake up every day and you ask yourself, okay, do you want to continue the story that has been happening? Or do you want to start on a new page? Yeah, it's your choice. And it's this series of choices that will ultimately lead us somewhere. But where? You have to ask yourself how you have been living your life. So, part of today's reflection would be to ask, perhaps look at a few areas. The first, perhaps think of think of all those who have helped you and benefited you this whole year. Yeah. The fact that we are sitting here alive and kicking is due to the contribution of many, many individuals. You know, all the lunches and dinners that you took, including the breakfast, yeah, maybe it's cooked by your mom, maybe it's cooked by your husband or wife, or maybe your maid, or maybe it's the food court that you frequent every day, yeah. And oftentimes, like when you're queuing up in the food court, how many of you queue up at the food court on a daily basis for your meal. The rest, tapa from whom? Shifu, we just meditate. Shifu, we are beyond lunches already. What are you talking about? All of you, beyond food. Do you all eat at food court? Or is it that you all like food court? Huh? We eat at restaurant or food court. Do you all eat? Okay, we are on the same page. So do you all eat at food court? Okay. Whether it's food court, restaurant, or whatever places you eat. Yeah, think about it. 365 days. Today is 29. Yeah. 365 multiplied by 3, assuming you have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'm not going to judge you for having supper and then pre-supper, post-supper, supper. Okay, let's just assume you have 3 meals a day. That would be about more than 1,000 meals. Yeah. And simply put, it is these 1,000 meals that enable you to be here today. You miss enough of all those meals, you're gone. That's how simple our physical life is. Very mortality of our life. You just skip enough meals, boom. You know, it's like, you know, kids, people play games these days, right? Most of the games, you don't have to keep on collecting health. You know? Yeah? Unless you get hit and then your health go down, then you must go and collect health. Human life, last I checked, every day have to collect health, you know? 3 times a day. For some, you know, 2.5 times or 1.5 times, but every day. Can you skip one day? Can, yeah. When you go for a retreat, you skip a couple of meals, you know, yeah, still survive. But if you skip enough, yeah. So gratitude. And this is just sustaining this physical body. Yeah, we haven't gone into all the other things that we use, from the glasses that we wear, the t-shirt, blouse, the tops, your pants, your skirts, your dress, you know, your handphone, everything. Modern society makes us feel very empowered, feel like we are very independent. Yeah. We are so dependent on one another. Yeah. So, we'll do a bit of reflection on gratitude. Yeah. Reflect on all the different conditions that were required for us to upkeep. Just upkeeping. We're not talking about anything fancy. Yeah, just upkeeping. And of course, gratitude can also come in other shapes and forms. Yeah. The immaterial help that people render, the care, the concern, the words, the kind words of advice, yeah, the scoldings you all get from Shifu, and everything else in between. Okay. Later, I'll give you all some time to reflect and write down. Okay. So from gratitude, then, you reflect on the conditions, you have gratitude, and you should feel thankful. Yeah. So this is the category of people who have helped us. And then the next thing we can reflect at the end of the year is to consider how in this whole year we may have inevitably hurt others, harmed others, intentionally or unintentionally. Yeah? Have you all hurt anyone before? Did you all hurt anyone in this life? Say yes.
Yes.
Yes. We are all hurtful people. So repentance. In Buddhism, repentance is an active process. Yeah? It is not a passive one-off, you just pass it to Buddha to solve it for you. It's an active process because it involves change. And it's an active process because this change takes place in your daily life, starting with the mindset. Change in our mindset, and then our actions. And of course, action would be body, speech, and mind. And of course, when we say we do repentance, where possible, then it is to make peace with others. Yeah, that means to actually ask for forgiveness, to seek forgiveness. Now, over the years, whenever I share on this, there are students who tell me that, but Sifu, some people don't want to listen to your repentance. Yeah. After 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, you know, they don't even want to see you. How? Sifu. Bo pian lo. You know. Maybe they are so hurt, you know. I mean, no laughing matter. Yeah, but if the person is really so hurt, then all the more it should give us the motivation to change our actions. Yeah. So in Buddhism, repentance is really about change. Yeah, not to do it again. Not to do it again. And where it's possible, to ask for forgiveness. Change in mindset is about recognizing that what was done is wrong. This is actually more difficult than changing our actions. Let me explain. You can change your behavior immediately, but you may do it unwillingly. Yeah? You park your car somewhere, parking warden come over, you're not supposed to park here. Fine, you know, immediately you can drive off. Yeah? But in your heart, you may not agree. And you may even plot, okay, I drive off slowly, look at the rear view mirror, is he still around? Go one more round, still here. Go one more round, still here. Yeah? So instantly we can change our actions, but mindset. Yeah. It means how we look upon that action. Have we changed the mindset? So mindset is important, and change is about the mindset. Because once the mindset has changed, then eventually the actions will follow. But as long as the mindset has not changed, whatever changes in the action is temporal. But here I want to also highlight, if you cannot change the mindset immediately, at least still change the actions. Otherwise, you know what? If you say, okay, Lord, since Sifu say that, I cannot change my mindset yet, so I don't change my actions. Knowing well that it is hurting others, and you still continue to do it the second, third time, you are what we call a jerk. Okay? So the first time, you know, you didn't know. Yeah? But once the person tells you, then you should stop. Even if you think your problem was, but you should still stop since it is, you know, disturbing somebody else. Okay? So, the third one is to forgive. Because it's not like we are bad people going around terrorizing people. Many times you're on the receiving end. Yeah. So forgiveness. Above, we try to seek forgiveness. Here, we give forgiveness. So if others seek forgiveness, we should grant that forgiveness. But as I always highlight, forgive but don't forget. Yeah, it's very common for people to say forgive and forget. It's very dangerous to forgive and forget. Because then we forget why we forgive at the first place. And when it happens again, then we don't forgive again. Or many times we mix up with forget and then forgive. So most people forgive, forget at the same time because they simply just want to forget about the whole issue. But sometimes it comes back to bite us. Sometimes we encounter something similar, or we encounter the person, the circumstances, and it rekindles those hurtful memories, yeah, painful memories, and then suddenly there's no forgiveness again. So true forgiveness doesn't come with forgetting. True forgiveness is also not about saying it's right for it to happen. True forgiveness happens when you see clearly that it was wrong. That's why there's forgiveness. If it's right, there's nothing to forgive, isn't it? Yeah. Part of the challenge of forgiving is oftentimes, one, the feeling that forgiving then means that the person is okay, is right to have done it. No, it's not. It is recognizing clearly that it's wrong. That's why there's a need for forgiveness. Number two, it's a bit trickier, number two. Number two is about sometimes people feel that they can only forgive if the person seeks forgiveness, if the person is remorseful, if the person is like this, is like that, and so on and so forth. Another way to look at forgiveness is to recognize that whatever wrong, harm, and injustice that was done has already been done. Whether you forgive or not, it doesn't change anything. What changes is if you choose not to forgive, then you continue to feel hurt. Forgive because your peace is more important. To make peace with others. Not everybody can accept that. Yeah. But I've seen many people, when the other person really asks for forgiveness, it's very hard, you know? Very hard. Huh? 你一句话道歉就 okay 了. Have you heard people say that before? Yeah? Oh, you did all that over so many years, mentally traumatized me, and now you ask for forgiveness, and then that's it. What? Tomorrow we go for a coffee? Huh? So easy, ah? Not easier, honestly. Yeah, I don't know. I think in life we will definitely at some point, perhaps. I hope we don't have to. Yeah, but sometimes we encounter bad situations, hurtful situations, harmful situations, injustice. Yeah, maybe we were wronged, maybe someone did something wrong to us. Yeah. The question is, do you want to continue, do you want to let your present and your future be stained by the wrong. The wrong was already done one time. Now, unless you're telling me that the wrong is continuing, yeah, then we need to sit down and have a chat. How can we stop that? If not, then you got to ask yourself, okay, do you want to continue to let that wrong stain the remainder of your life? So forgiveness. Make peace. Most young people don't think about having peace. Think about having excitement. Yeah? But when they come to a certain age, you realize that peace is peace of mind, you know? Where your mind is settled, you don't owe people don't owe you, you feel at ease, you know? But usually, the way we achieve this is by not thinking about some people. Yeah? By not meeting some people, by not thinking about some people, by not going to some places, by not thinking of some places, then we have peace. If this is your current level of peace, so be it. You know, you have to find your peace somehow. Yeah. So whichever level of making peace you can, you know, make peace. Don't spend your time alone, you know. When do we have time alone? When you're waiting for the lift, when you're bangsai, you know, when we are at home, when we come back home and everybody is not home yet, when at night you're going to sleep, whether you're married or not, even if you're married, your husband is and then you suddenly wake up in the middle of the night, then you jialat. Yeah, 重播, yeah, all the reruns start. And unfortunately, when we have rerun, our favorite is all the sob story rerun. 慘死, oh, huh? Then we just keep on thinking about all the hurt, all the comments that were said about us, that people make us feel embarrassed, make us feel uncomfortable, and so on and so forth. Yeah. Make peace. Right? 合作一点. And lastly, call it New Year resolution, call it aspiration, but please don't call it a wish. Yeah. Aspiration and wishes. Making aspiration instead of making wishes. Yeah. Did you all send your wishes to Santa Claus? I remember when I was young, there was one year, I think I was in maybe Sec 1 or Sec 2 or something. We were at, I think, Isetan or Metro. Yeah. And then there was this lucky draw thing or whatever, you know. And you're supposed to use this computer to draw your wish. Yeah. And I wanted to draw Lego. I draw halfway, then the Santa Claus like, okay, can't really. Wow. Traumatized me. No. Yeah, never get anything. Wishes. You can also think about how in the past year, yeah, in terms of aspiration, you can ask yourself, what have you achieved this year? Like at the start of the year, maybe you have had some goals that you wish to achieve. Yeah, it could be a health goal, it could be a personal life goal. Yeah, any goal. Doesn't have to be spiritual, you know, must attend how many retreats, must chant how many times Ta Pei Zhou, doesn't have to be anything spiritual, whatever it is. Can even be financial, save $500,000, make my first $1 million or whatever. But ask yourself, did you manage to attain it? How many of you attain your goal this year? Oh, one person, very fast. What is it? Personal? Is it something sensitive to share?
My health.
Your health, huh?
Yes.
And you achieve your goal.
Yes.
And what was your goal again?
Previously, for the past 3 years, my health is not in good shape. Like high sugar level.
Uh huh.
High cholesterol.
Oh.
High green acid.
Was that your goal? No, that's not your goal.
Yeah, this year
okay.
I'm done fruit diet. I came for classes. I think my mentality and lifestyle changed. Over things, so I have a perfect record only 2 months back.
Very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Very good.
Something that I have done since I joined the first class.
Oh, Amitabha. 不敢当 yeah, conditions.
I myself have a lot of confidence in life right now.
Oh, good.
In health and other physical things and what are the surroundings?
Yeah, please do not be mistaken. It is like 99% her own effort. Otherwise, you all set yourself up for failure, you know. Yeah.
Important, her mentality is very important.
Yeah. Her mentality. Yeah. Follow, emulate that mentality. Yeah, I don't give guarantee you attend your class then have perfect health.
I'm close to Dharma, that's why I'm very grateful.
Ah, good.
I'm grateful that I'm close to Dharma, really, in these 2 years.
Yes, grateful to Dharma.
My
good.
Lifestyle is the more on the wild side. I like buying light dancing.
Oh.
I make twice.
Oh.
I like singing.
Oh.
I do Tai Chi. One fine place, all entertainment, wildlife.
Wow, wilder than my life last time. Huh? Last time I don't chong so much.
Wow,
happening.
I'm close to food and I have taken up this Dharma, close to Dharma.
Ah.
And my lifestyle all changed.
Change, okay.
Yes.
Very
came
good.
Down.
Came down.
Yes.
Okay, well done. Wow. Okay. Okay. How about the rest? still. Havoc, Chongyin. Yeah. So ask yourself, what are the things you achieved? What are the things you missed? Yeah, meaning you didn't quite achieve it. Perhaps when we fail to achieve our goals, we may feel disheartened, we may feel sad. Yeah. In a way, we don't have to also. It's bad enough that you miss your target, then already have this, miss the target. Then it plus sad. Now you have two problems. Miss your target, try again next year. But of course, be realistic to yourself. Don't just say try, but then never try. Just try. Yeah. Aspiration. Shifu cannot decide for you what aspiration you should have. Yeah, but Shifu can share with you some story. There was this king, I think it was King Bimbisara. Either King Bimbisara or King Pasenadi. Yeah, the two of them, either one. So one of them came to see the Buddha, went to see the Buddha, talked to the Buddha, and then while the Buddha was giving a teaching, then he was nodding away. And then after that, the Buddha asked, like, oh, you're so drowsy. What happened to you? And then the king said, oh, I just have my lunch, very hefty lunch. According to what I heard from my teachers recounting of this sutta, the king is said to have eaten 100 bowls of rice. Now, don't tell me how it's technically possible. 100 bowls is more than I can imagine. How does he I don't know how small the bowl is. I think 10 bowls is a lot. Okay? Not to mention 100 bowls. So then the conversation went on that, oh, the king wanted to find out how he can, you know, change. So you know what the Buddha told him? Just eat one bowl less. Just one bowl less. The Buddha didn't say, oh, you should just go on diet, you know, you should go 过午不食, just, you know, abstain from lunch, from your meals at improper times, or eat 100 bowls. But Buddha just said, eat one bowl less. Every day, just eat one bowl less. One bowl less, I can do that. And then so, in this way, gradually, over time, then this king reduced the food intake. Reduced to the point where his health is restored. Yeah, he's not constantly so drowsy and so on. So when we make aspirations similarly, we may succeed, but sometimes we may fail. Don't feel disheartened. Try again. Maybe out of 100% of the goal, you don't hit anything. Yeah, then try again. Just hit one more goal. Yeah, or just hit 1 more percent, 2 more percent of the goal. Don't think lightly of the 1-2%. It's more than our savings account interest. Just 1 or 2% every day. Every day? Imagine if it's 1-2% every day. Wow. If we were to change ourselves, the aspiration, ask yourself, like you write down your name, okay? Like, let's say I write down my name. So, you ask yourself, when others see this name, when others think of you, how do you want others to think of you? What kind of person do you want to be known as? The past you already set in stone, gone already. New you. Ask yourself, if you can change something every 3 months, let's say cannot aim too low. Give me 30 years to change. To be realistic, if I say change over 3 days, difficult. Yeah? Chinese have a saying, what? 学坏三天,学好三年. Very realistic. The proportion. So if you say, you set it too low, then you never amount to anything. You set it too high, within 3 days, of course you will fail. So let's say over 3 months, you try to work on something. So technically, you can work on 4 things next year. 4 changes. Ask yourself, what are the 4 changes you want to do? And then, this is the exciting part. I always like to write timeline. Dun, dun. Wow. So this is your birth. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. Anybody planning to live until 200 years old? So, you know, everybody should have this, like, stuck on the bathroom window mirror, you know. And then every day, you just, every year, maybe you increase it a bit. Like mine, I've already used up to this point. You know, average lifespan of man, about 82 and a half years. Half gone already, You know? I put here dot dot dot. You know why it's dot dot dot? Not sure. Not sure whether this will be there. Yeah. So imagine if I live up to the statistical age of 82, simplified 82, so I have technically another 36 years multiplied by 3, by 4, then I have how many things to do? 144 things to change. Yeah. And let's assume that maybe we have about 1,000 things to change before we attain arahanthood. Let's say, I'm not claiming that I only have 1,000 things left. But let's say, if you can put a number to it and it's 1,000, and this life you change 144 things, then left with how much? 856 things to change. Next life, change another 144. But maybe out of 144, I didn't get most of it. I only hit 80. So, 920. Then next life, lucky worse, only hit 40. Then 880. Slowly, work on it. You know what I mean? As I said, unless you are in a rush, next Wednesday, 3:35 p.m., then you must really chong up. But you must start somewhere. But maybe you are not interested to be an arahant who wants to be perfectly enlightened. Yeah? Maybe what you want to do is something else. Then ask yourself, what is keeping you from that goal? It's that simple, you know? Ask yourself, what is the end state? What is in between here? Yeah. And you break it down. So instead of making some airy-fairy aspiration, you know, anyone can come with airy-fairy aspiration. Oh, I want to be a better person. I want to be, like this, kinder. Yeah, I mean, that's good. Yeah, but distill it down to something more tangible. Actual things that you are required to do. Otherwise, it's going to be just some airy-fairy, nice goal out there. Yeah. Many years back, before I even ordained, I did this exercise. It was actually part of the training, in consulting, project management. And after we learn, how to break it down, using the SMART, the SMART acronym. And then the instructor said, okay, now y'all do try it out. And we're supposed to work on three things. One is in terms of your professional career. Yeah, what is the end? What are the goals you want to meet? And ask yourself, can you just do it? Cannot break it down into smaller goals and steps. And the second one was your personal life. And one more was financial. So that year, I have this goal. I want to, become a champion for the BizTalk, be a champion for AppCompat, and then what else? A few other things. That was the professional one back then. And then the... One more, the finance one was, I had this goal, I want to save $10,000 and give it to my parents. So I woke up, what is my expenditure, what is my income, and then how much, if I spread it over a year, you know, it has to be something tangible. So then I know that, okay, every month I must take out this amount and not touch it. Yeah. Otherwise, you wait until you finish spending everything, then you say, oh, what is left? Never happen. Got to work reverse. The last one I had was, I thought, I want to attain Arahanthood. But bear in mind, that was many years back. When I really sat down, then I realized something. Because all these years, back then, I pride myself in knowing, in thinking that I knew a lot of Dharma. You know, because most people around me, you know, when we discuss, Gonggak Wuling Wuhong, everybody, you know, because most lay people don't know much or so anyway. You know, so among the lay people, I'm like, quite excited, you know. But then when one day, after one of the novice retreat, then my colleagues were like, oh, you're Buddhist, I said, yeah, I'm also Buddhist. Then they asked me about the retreat. So what do you all do in the retreat? I said, meditate. So what do you all do when you meditate? Observe the breath, or count your breath, 1, 2, 3, 4. Then, what is your end goal? Enlightenment. So, how do you go from counting the breath to enlightenment? And then I was like, yeah, back then. And to me, that was a wake-up call. To me, that was like, you know, those stories about the meditator go and meet the Zen master, and the Zen master, then, Huang Ren Da Wu. Yeah, to me, that was a very important wake-up call. I realized that, yeah, as much as I somehow seem to know a lot of Dharma, but I have no idea how to get from point A to point B. So when I did this exercise, all I know was that, yeah, I want to attain Arahanthood. But I have no idea how to get there, actually. So I thought, okay, what is before Arahanthood? I mean, you know, consultant, sometimes let's just spare the details, rough roadmap, you know. Roadmap is very 30,000 feet kind of view. So I thought, before Arahanthood, Anagami. Okay, yes. Yeah, precursor to Arahanthood, must attain Anagami. Okay, then how to attain Anagami? I don't know also. Okay, I know that Sakadagami is before Anagami, so attain Sakadagami. Then what is before that? Sotapanna. How to attain Sotapanna? I also don't know. But I think, okay, must definitely meditate. So I just randomly put in, okay, 8 hours a day. then I just backtrack from, then I thought, back then, the lifespan wasn't so long. I'm serious. About close to 20 years back, the average lifespan was about 75, men for men. Women was already 80. Men was about 75, now has increased. Unfortunately, the increase comes behind, not in front. So I backtrack, back, all the way until this point. And then it went from 8 hours a day to 7 hours a day, 6 hours, 5, 4, 3, 2, up to that year. My goal that year was meditate at least 2 hours a day. Something tangible. Although I wasn't clear about the details yet, but you must break it down to something tangible, something measurable. Otherwise, it's just some airy-fairy thing. I know a lot of projects out there just get stuck and never move forward because the deliverables are not measurable. And I tell you, in terms of your life, whether it's your spiritual life or your whatever aspects, really, if you were to look at it this way, wow, beautiful, you know. Now, most people are quite surprised when I bring this in for religion. Yeah, because most people think of religion or Buddhism as just every day, chant, then something will happen. No, the Buddha gave very clear checklists. You know, 45 years of teaching, he didn't just keep telling people to chant, you know. Yeah. A lot of the teachings were about the checklist, the things you must do and what you should expect to see. It's a very clear structure, which after ordaining, then learning from my teacher, and then going through the Nikayas, and all, oh, I see. Yeah, that becomes clear. But as I said, I'm not here to tell you what your goal should be. Yeah. You have to decide what your goal you want. What is the goal you want? But this approach can perhaps help you to make good your wishes, if you will, your aspirations. Yeah. And then 2020, do you know that 2020 is a special year? Very special one, you know? Do you know? After it's over, don't come back again. Just like 2019. Just like today. Just like this moment. Yeah. So don't wait for some new year. Every day is an opportunity for us to make good our aspiration. Should I say Happy New Year? Have a meaningful New Year ahead. Have a normal New Year. I mean, tough one. 愿消散障诸烦恼，愿得智慧真明了，愿得智慧真明了，普愿罪障悉消除，普愿罪障悉消除，世世常行菩萨道，世世常行菩萨道，阿弥陀佛，起立。